back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. So you know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to kickstart this work week. Hope everybody's doing great. We're going into the third and final part on these missing scientists and government officials. So if you haven't listened to the last two episodes, do that first. Okay? You're going to want to do that before you come back here to check this one out. If you're new here, welcome in. Welcome to the cult. Me and Kyle like to talk for a few minutes before we get into the show. If that's not for you, you're going to want to fast forward to about 6 minutes.
And then, yeah.
You'll, you'll find what we're talking about.
Other than the last show, we're usually pretty consistent now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
Last show, we had a little bit extra to say, but that's okay.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
If you're not new here, or you just want to listen to us talk, welcome back, weirdos. Hang out with us for a little bit before we get into these more scientist murders and stuff. So, that being said, check us out at all our social medias. And if you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to share on a future show, Kyle's got some information that you're going to want.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. As you all know, it's in the show notes every day. Write your story out in as much detail as you possibly can. Send it over there. From there, we're going to get it, file it. Then you're going to be famous once we air it.
It's easy.
Yeah. Now it's going to get aired on two separate things, so you're going to be even more famouser.
The most famousest.
Yes.
If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. We have a Patreon where you can go over there and check that stuff out. Got all kinds of good stuff over there, exclusive episodes, a bunch of different tiers on stuff. Go check it out. And shout out to all our patrons. Love you guys.
Much.
Thanks for helping us out. You're the best. Another way you can support the show is go to hollowskypodcast.com and go to our merch store and get some cool swag, which we got some new stuff coming down the pipeline here shortly. If you are a Patreon member, you would know because Kyle did a poll over there on the new Hollow Cult, one of the new Hollow Cult merch pieces coming up. So
I'm actually really fucking excited for this shirt.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how it turns out.
I'm stoked. So once I post that other color possibility.
Get ready.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to put the order in for it. So we'll do that.
At Patreon, you got a voice.
Yeah.
You got a voice of the voiceless.
Hopefully people go with a little bit more of a girly color so we get some girl shirts moving out there.
Mix them up. You can also share the show word of mouth. Best thing you can do. It's free. Check it out. Share it on socials. Share it word of mouth. Put it out there. Go to the YouTube. Subscribe. You know, hit the notification bell, all that YouTube jargon, that helps us out too. Just little things. They're free. They take 1 second of your time that helps us get through the algorithm. So doing that stuff, we appreciate it. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I will gladly shout you out like I'm going to do right now. This week's 5-star rating and review is coming to us from our friend Jumbo10.
Hell yeah.
Jumbo10 says, "You're killing it, boys. 5 stars. Don't listen to those 1-star haters. They're just jelly that they don't know how to read and do the research that you guys do."
Hell yes.
Hell yeah, Jumbo.
It does make sense that they definitely don't know how to read.
No, because they're dorks. So.
Them 1-star haters.
1-star dorky haters.
Yeah.
Think about that. So, thanks, Jumbo.
It's appreciated.
Thanks for the cool words. We do appreciate you. The last thing you can do to support the show is support our wonderful sponsors that you're going to hear from right about now. Hey, Hollow Cult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high.
Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO.
And just like that, we're back, Hollow Cult. Welcome. Welcome in. We're on the third and final installment of These Missing Scientists. This is one of the longest episodes I've done in a while.
It is. And it's been pretty fucking rad, if I do say so myself.
If you ain't checked out the last two episodes, just pause this and go listen to them.
Yeah.
Kyle was throwing out heater theories last round.
Bro, it's I don't know. This one's got my brain kind of stumbling around.
Yeah, and if by some chance you guys wake up one day and me and Kyle are gone and our car keys, cell phones, and wallets are left on the tables, we're not in that mindset. Something sus is happening.
Yeah, 100%, guys.
Keep that on the forefront of your thoughts.
Yeah. Avenge us.
Because that seems to be a commonality, which is bizarre in these cases.
Avenge us and don't let the feed forget us.
Yeah.
That's how they get you now. They bombard the feed.
Which is a theory that's happening right here.
Yes, there you go. See?
Trying to keep everybody's eyes off of William McCaslin, yeah. And instead they throw out 15 other people that are missing. Look at these. That being said, definitely go check it out if you haven't. If you have, here we go.
Oh, real quick. I would also hate to be on the opposite end of the ragtag army that would form in our disappearance.
Yeah. Twiz leading the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Fago in both hands. Just tree isn't a tree. Yeah. Rolling.
Yeah. I feel like Twiz and Brother John would probably be some solid leaders there.
Yeah. Dylan in the war rig.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, we got a pretty good army.
It's something.
It is something. We love you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, diving right in, we are going to start with these. I'm going to butcher these names and I apologize, especially to the people that have passed. Nuno F. Gomez Larrero.
That sounds right to me.
Larrero is a prominent Portuguese plasma physicist, 47. Held joint appointments as a professor in MIT's Department of Nuclear Science and Engineering and Department of Physics. He was also the director of MIT's Plasma Science and Fusion Center. So, another big brain. Not a guy that's to be taken lightly.
Wow, well, yeah, there's that. I was going to make a wrestling joke, but, you know, it's whatever. My
bad. You still can.
I was going to ask if he's related to Eddie Guerrero.
No, maybe. I can't back that up. He might be. He might be. In 2016, Larrero joined MIT as a professor and fusion scientist. He studied magnetic reconnection and plasma turbulence using computational simulators and published widely in scientific journals. He became a full professor in physics in 2021 with a joint appointment in the Department of Nuclear Science and Engineering. Lorero is affiliated with the MIT Energy Initiative and the MIT Calvi Institute and was a member of the American Physical Society. In 2022, he became deputy director of the MIT Plasma Science and Fusion Center, MIT's largest lab, and he was appointed full director in May 2024. In January 2025, President Joe Biden presented Lorero among 10 other faculty members of MIT with the Presidential Early Career Award, the highest U.S. government honor of young scientists. So he was top of the top.
Bro, the accolades you listed off made him sound like one of the smartest people out there.
Top 10.
That's crazy.
Top 10 young scientists.
And I'll forever be amazed by people that are into like physics and or not physics, but what was he into?
Gosh, also physics. It. Plasma science.
Quantum physics, yeah. And all that. That stuff is freaking crazy.
Yeah.
It's some of the most complex thinking I've ever been exposed to. It makes my brain hurt. And the fact that he's like, watch this, is extremely impressive.
Yeah. And he put that to work. Lorero was twice recognized with the MIT Department of Nuclear Science and Engineering, PAI, Outstanding Professor Award for teaching the courses Intro into Plasma Physics and MHD Theory of Fusion Systems. If you ask me what those are, I don't know.
Let's say, I'm impressed that you can read them so cleanly.
His team was reportedly approaching a functional breakthrough in nuclear fission, the kind of development that could fundamentally restructure global energy economy and render fossil fuels obsolete had they make the breakthrough.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, they probably did make the breakthrough.
Yeah. Switching gears now that we've introduced Lorero, shortly after 4 p.m. on December 13th, 2025, a man by the name of Claudio Manuel Neves Valente entered the campus of Brown University. He made his way, trigger warning, violence. He made his way over to the School of Engineering's Barros and Holly building, which houses the university's physics department. It was the second day of finals for the fall of the semester. Room 166 had a final exam review going on for economics, when a masked gunman entered the classroom just as class was ending and indiscriminately started firing 40 rounds, killing two students and injuring nine. It's still unknown how Valente entered the building, but authorities said he moved through a part of the building that had limited surveillance cameras and exited on Hope Street.
Did they catch him?
Not yet. Up to this point. Not now, but up to this point in the story, no. It's also strange that dude moved through the parts of the building that didn't have any surveillance cameras.
Yeah, he already pre-plotted the...
Or someone pre-plotted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know what you're asking. What do these two individuals have to do with one another? I'm about to tell you. We're going to talk about Valente for a little bit. Valente, born January 22nd, 1977, was born in Torres Novas, Portugal. He studied at the same university as Lorero, the Instituto Superior Tecniso in Lisbon, Portugal, either or. From 1995 to 2000, after graduating first in his class from the school ahead of Lorero, who, keep in mind, top 10 scientist.
Genius.
He enrolled in the physics PhD program at Brown University in September 2000. He took a leave of absence in April 2001, formally withdrew from the doctoral program in July 2003. Valente lived in Providence during his time at Brown. Former classmates in the Institute described him as being a brilliant, brilliant but arrogant student. According to Scott Watson, a physics professor at Syracuse University and a close friend and former classmate at Brown, Valente was, quote, often unhappy and even angry, complaining that classes were too easy and that food on Brown's campus was subpar. During the time, they were both doctoral students. After leaving Brown, Valente returned to Portugal, working as an IT specialist for SAPO. He later won the Diversity Immigrant Visa Lottery, obtaining U.S. permanent residency in 2017. He had no criminal record, and his last known address was in the working-class neighborhood of Ives Estates, Florida. So, you have these two people who used to go to school together, kind of competed in the in college and stuff as far as intellect goes. Back to Larrero now. Larrero was shot in the foyer of his apartment building where he lived in Brookline, Massachusetts on the evening of December 15th, 2025. He was transported to Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston with gunshot wounds, where he was pronounced dead early on the 16th of December. Authorities opened a homicide investigation that received widespread publicity. On December 18th, authorities announced that they were investigating a link between Larrero's murder and the shooting at Brown University 2 days prior that killed two and injured nine. Authorities confirmed the link later that day at a press conference announcing the suicide of the lone suspect of the Brown University shooting, that being Valente, a Portuguese national. The Connecticut State Forensic Science Lab confirmed that one of the firearms found in Valente's matched the weapon used in Larrero's murder. Valente, too, attended, again, the same institute with Larrero, graduating first in his class ahead of Larrero. Later that same day, they found Valente dead with a self-inflicted gunshot inside of a storage unit in New Hampshire. So, they think that this man went to Brown University with the sole purpose of finding Larrero there and murdering him, which they still don't know why. They know that they have a past together, but there was no motive as to why Valente wanted Larrero dead. It's almost like that same valet feeling where people are almost, I guess, manipulated or programmed to take out these top minds in the fields.
Which is crazy. But, I mean, if there was some type of, you know, be it paranormal or governmental, in kind of stagnating human progress, I mean, it does. I mean, because it's not. This is strange because of the context it's fallen under about all these scientists going missing and offed in such a quick time span. But it's not the first time in history that we've heard about breakthroughs that have led to very mysterious disappearances and or deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how many times have we heard the cure for cancer and then that person go missing or wind up dead? Same with, we've heard about engines that run on water, all types of stuff. You know, this isn't the first time. So if there is a global vested interest in, which I still, like, we've talked about this before, Steve, and I don't understand, aside from money changing, I don't understand why it would matter all that much if there was a new power source that came forward. Because in the end, like, us as consumers are still going to pay.
Yeah.
I guess it changes the money structure that is currently in place, because maybe the oil tycoons don't have investments in this new cold fusion power or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, whatever it is.
Or unless these people behind it were pirating essentially free energy. You know, maybe they were a humanitarian where they're like, this is going to be for the betterment of the world. All the oligarchs need to keep their hands out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
which would never happen. There'll never be a thing as free energy. That would never exist.
No, because all the scientists keep getting murdered.
Well, it'll be free for the people creating it. It just won't be free for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the idea of building all these solar fields to generate what is kind of free energy, kind of.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, we're going to charge you more now.
Which this in particular, I know it doesn't necessarily tie. I mean, he was a scientist working on plasma physics and all that shit, which is kind of the same. I mean, it's pretty much in the same ball field. But it is also interesting that just like Carl Grillmar, where the guy got arrested and went away, this dude literally committed a campus shooting, a school shooting, and they couldn't, he just disappeared. Disappeared to show up however many miles away to murder this man.
Which I'll bet has probably never happened.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Now that you say it like that, I'd be willing to bet that's probably never happened, where somebody has committed a crime as atrocious as that, only to just disappear.
Because if you fall under the pretense that this man had meticulously planned that out, that means he had to get into and get on campus multiple times to walk the entire campus to, maybe not the entire campus, maybe just the physics building, to figure out where there aren't any cameras.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Even if somebody gave him the map, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's still a high probability you're still going to kind of feel lost. You know what I mean? It's a place you've never been before, you've never seen.
And for him to go in, hammer it out, and then leave, they can't figure out how he got into the building. He went through a place where there's very little CCTV footage, but they know the exact point he walked out, exited onto Hope Street and took off.
That's weird.
Went about his business 2 days later to go murder this other guy.
And they don't know how he got in.
No, they don't know how he entered the building. Bro, my children have to have badge IDs to get into the high school.
Yeah.
Crazy. Moving on to the next one. One Jason Thomas, a chemical biologist, was reported missing on December 13th, 2025, after leaving his home on the night of December 12th, leaving his phone, his wallet, and all other identification on the counter.
So Thomas,
45, was assistant director at Novartis Institute for Biomedical Research. Now, this is a little bit different because it's a biomed as opposed to like rocket science, but the fact that he left his stuff there is sus. But he worked at Novartis Institute for Biomedical Research with over 4,500 citations in chemical biology and chemoproteomics, focused on novel drug therapies, including potential cancer treatments. He also reportedly had active contracts with the Department of Defense. Huh. What could a cancer researcher... Why would a cancer researcher have active contracts with the Department of Defense? Somebody connect those dots for me. Am I just missing it? Is it just me? Or does that sound two totally different things to be connected?
No. I mean, the fact that, in my opinion, the fact that he's into what he's into, the biochemical field or whatever the fuck it is, bro, I guarantee there's military applications for that.
Oh, yeah. It's weird.
But it's also crazy to me. I feel like it takes a true psychopath to be like, look, Steve, I'm curing cancer. And at the same time, I'm going to go ahead and create weapons of mass destruction. I kind of feel like it's a psychopath that does that type of shit.
I didn't think about it like that. I was kind of thinking more like, could the Department of Defense be funding this research? So if they were to release something, that they could have like the cure for it.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
I was kind of going down that route, but I mean, who knows shit, at this
If you're run the narrative that it has to do with outside life, I mean, you're still going to need people that, you know, because you've heard contact stories where people have gotten weird fucking viruses and stuff and
yeah,
and passed away. I didn't think about that. Yeah. I mean,
crazy. On Tuesday, March 17th, 2026, the Wakefield Police Department announced that a body had been recovered earlier that day from Lake Quanapowhat. According to the press release, the clothing suggests that the victim was Jason Thomas. Medical examiner has not yet identified the cause or manner of death, but no foul play is suspected or suspected. Some interesting things I put together here on top of it being weird. The day Jason went missing was the same day Valente entered Brown University and started shooting with the intent on killing Nuno Lorero. Also, the exact same week that Freddie Snyder was originally arrested on Carl Grillmore's property with the unregistered rifle, and it's easy to assume he was going to murder him that day.
Yeah.
So this all essentially took place...
same block of time.
Within a seven-day time span. Where you have multiple high-ranking intelligence scientists murdered... and this guy went missing.
No way is this a coincidence, man.
Isn't that fucking weird?
It's out of control.
Sus.
It's also... like, if our governments were perpetrating it, or an entity of human existence were perpetrating it, how the hell did they figure nobody would pick up on the trail?
Or it's almost like they're fucking with us at this point.
Kind of.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're going to make this all happen the same day. See if anybody notices. And the shit, the crazy fucking thing is we didn't until McCaslin started popping
That's
out.
True. That's true. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just have a little bit too much faith in humanity sometimes because of the internet sleuths. Those guys are always on the shit. But yeah, I guess I kind of figured people wouldn't put it together. But then again, the world is... big, and there's lots of information always buzzing around. So.
And it's constantly bonkers. The world is crazy. Yeah. Well, we ain't done yet. Now we move on to... these aren't in chronological order by any means, so we move back the timeline a little bit now. Frank Maywald, July 4th, 2024. 61 years old, was working at JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratories, which is NASA, specialized in microwave radiometry. He worked at JPL from 2000 to 2024 when he died. He contributed to Earth science missions including surface, water, and ocean topography, the Jason 3 satellite, which takes sea level measurements to gain insight into climate change. Maywald was a technical group supervisor at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. His obituary and his publication trail on the NASA technical report server document a career spanning radiometry, terahertz spectroscopy, and orbital remote sensing. He managed development of the SBG-VSWIR instrument, a visible shortwave infrared spectrometer designed for the surface biology and geology mission. He had previously overseen a successful delivery of instruments for the AMRC program, and there's a bunch of other programs here that I don't know about. Visual shortwave infrared spectroscopy detects anomalous surface emissions and identifies materials from orbit. Again, another guy with some satellite stuff. Advanced microwave radiometry enables all-weather target tracking and maritime domain awareness. Civilian applications are for climate monitoring and oceanography. The defense applications are for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Technology is inherently dual use, and Maywald managed programs on both sides of that line. His obituary contains no cause of death. There are no illnesses mentioned, and it's just unknown outside of, I'm assuming, the family at this point. Born June 24th, 1964 in Ratingen, Germany. He's educated in the University of Cologne. He is survived by his wife, his father, and his siblings. Entries into the public memorial guest book from colleagues make it clear that the death was sudden. Colleagues noticed He had actively been engaging on ongoing projects and making plans for future projects. The shock documented by his peers almost leads to believe that there's no precursor of a long-term illness. Like, if he was sick, people would not be shocked that he passed away.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
These people are like, holy shit, what happened? It, so there was no press release from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. NASA didn't say anything about it. Caltech didn't make a write-up. Basically, there was nothing except like a medical examiner public database. His obituary is the only public record that Maywall existed and then stopped existing. JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where he worked, is also where Monica Reza was working when she vanished 11 months later. Caltech is also where Carl Grillmore ran quality assurance in the Neowise pipeline. So you're connecting the dots to these people as well.
I don't know, man. It's a lot of names. It's a lot of information.
Yeah. It's basically they were all part of like the aerospace infrastructure in Southern California. You have Reza, who was creating Mandalore. You had Grillmar, who was working on the sensors for the stuff. Maywald managed the instruments. McCaslin funded a lot of the stuff. And now they're all gone.
Yeah. And it's just like with Amy Eskridge. You know, she worked in an area where it was all about propulsion and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep. Some of these I don't have very much information on because, like I said, they're getting added to the mix as we go. So I was just picking up what I could pick up to put out to you guys. Next, we have Joshua Kyle LeBlanc. He was an American aerospace engineer. He worked on the nuclear propulsion. I worked on nuclear propulsion at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center from 2019 until his death. LeBlanc was born in 1996 and raised in New Iberia, Louisiana. He attended Catholic high school and earned a bachelor's of science in electrical engineering from the University of Louisiana in Lafayette in 2019. He received the Pew Family Foundation Scholarship in 2017, developing an attitude for control system on Cape One, his university's nanosatellite. While in college, LeBlanc interned at Pelican Engineering, an electronic hardware consulting company. After graduating, he joined NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, where he worked as an electrical engineer. He worked on projects related to nuclear propulsion for use in spaceflight missions to Mars, including the demonstration rocket for Agile Psi-Lunar Operations, codenamed Draco. His death on July 22, 2025, LeBlanc crashed in a rural area of Walker County outside of Huntsville, Alabama. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's where the Eskridge it was, right?
Yep.
Amy.
Age 29. The vehicle caught fire after leaving the road, striking a guardrail and trees. After he failed to appear at work, his parents reported him missing at 4:32 a.m., believing he had been abducted. His burned-out Tesla was found at 2:45 later that day by police officers. His body was burned beyond recognition, and Alabama state forensics officials identified his remains later. Investigators used digital data from LeBlanc's vehicle to reconstruct his path. They discovered that his vehicle had been parked at the Huntsville International Airport for 4 hours the morning prior to the accident. His family reported that he had not communicated any travel plans and had left his phone and wallet at home.
Dude, that's so weird. You're right. At this point, it almost does feel like a calling card.
How crazy. And like, for his parents to be like, we were worried he was abducted. That's, you just don't throw that out anywhere.
No.
Were there previous threats to his life? Because a guy doesn't come home from work. I mean, the dude's 29 years old. Maybe he met a gal and went and stayed at her place, you know?
Like, yeah, this, sure.
For them to be like, we're worried he's abducted, go find him. And they find the burned out Tesla, follow the map trail. And he sat at the parking lot at the international airport for 4 hours. Was he meeting somebody? Did he pick somebody up? Was like this sound? This feels like a hit piece.
Sure.
crazy.
And once again, he's kind of in that like nuclear propulsion,
yep,
outer space vibe that seems to be kind of riding the center lane right now.
Phone and wallet left at home.
That's so bizarre, man.
Dude, it's almost like 3/4 of these are phone and wallet left at home. Which is...
Dude, that's got to tell you that it's linked somehow. It's like bonkers. Whatever is happening to him is coming from the same thing.
Yeah, it's hard to look beyond it. It's hard to look beyond it. Next, this one is a little off key, but also it's a name that started getting thrown around here, especially in the last 2 weeks. And this is the whistleblower Matt Sullivan, 39, an Air Force veteran. Again, Air Force is a prominent thing we got going on here because McCaslin was an Air Force high ranking official. You had the murder suicide. They were from Wright-Patterson. They were also Air Force. So it's not that far of a stretch. An Air Force veteran who agreed to testify before Congress about secret government UFO programs died just months before the hearing of an accidental drug overdose. Matthew James Sullivan, 39, died at his home in Fall Church, Virginia on May 12, 2024, of a lethal mix of alcohol, alprazolam, cyclobenzaprine, and imipramine. Uh-huh. I don't know drugs that much, so bear with me. According to the Northern District Office of Chief Medical Examiner, the FBI indicated in a statement that Sullivan's death could be under investigation along with a dozen other missing or dead U.S. scientists. While we do not comment on the specific incidents, the FBI is spearheading an effort to look to connections into the missing and deceased scientists. We're working with the Department of Energy, the Department of War, and with our state and local enforcement partners to find answers, the FBI said. Sullivan earned a Bronze Star for valor in Operation Enduring Freedom and later worked for the Air Force Intelligence Agency, National Air and Space Intelligence Center, and the National Security Agency. So he was also in and probably had top secret clearance bunch of shit.
Yeah, it sounds like he was definitely in the know of a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we are at a point where the United States government thinks for a second, a millisecond, that foreign adversaries are offing our scientists, I feel like that should be a massive red flag and one that they would want to nip in the butt extremely fast.
Which is also crazy that they didn't start focusing in on it until McCaslin disappeared.
Right.
Which, if you look at those first few articles that dropped when he disappeared, they started referring to it as a national security threat, which is a big deal.
Whenever the first guy?
Whenever McCaslin, who disappeared, I think, in April of this year, they referred to him as a national security threat. Then all these other threads started linking up. So... that's why people think maybe they're flooding the scene with all these others so people stop looking at McCaslin, which is crazy.
It is.
It's crazy.
It would be, I mean, it's concerning that the best and brightest are for some reason being kind of clipped.
And whistleblowers are supposed to be protected. Even though this says it was an accidental overdose,
odds are not.
Is anything ever accidental?
Not really.
No, dude's Tesla got burnt out after he said at the airport. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Sullivan held, quote, the burden that a select few in this nation have of truly understanding what's going on. Retired Major General David Abba, who served as the director of special programs and later as the director of the Department of Defense Special Access Program Central Office, said at his funeral. Sullivan was part of the, quote, so-called legacy UFO program, the U.S. government crash retrieval program that has operated for decades in the shadows across several executive branch agencies, sources told the Post. Sullivan had personally seen UFOs in the federal government's possession and would have exposed the legacy program at congressional hearings in November of 2024, according to resources. resources. Other UFO whistleblowers have also faced threats for their safety after coming forward with world-shattering information. So, dude was in the UFO realm heavy. Also, like I said, high up in the Air Force's ranks. Definitely had top secret clearance there. Strange.
Strange is an understatement. And it is crazy that he had so much, I guess, investment into the UFO community. Because once, and that's the thing with the story, is it kind of keeps going left and right, left and right, left and right.
Yeah. There's got to be
something
that connects everybody.
Because it does feel kind of outer spacey UFO-y to me, the whole narrative. But there are aspects of it where you're kind of like, but is it though? And then something like this pops up and you're like, it definitely is.
Yeah.
And then somebody else gets thrown in the mix and you're kind of like,
yeah,
what the fuck? And maybe it's a half and half. Maybe it, you know,
I thought the same thing.
You know, maybe some of them are connected and some of them are just being pushed to the surface. Not, you know, all of them, but maybe just some of them.
Or there could be multiple silence campaigns going on.
Yeah.
You know, they're shutting down the jet propulsion UFO crew, but they're also shutting down the UFO whistleblowers. They're also shutting down the people that are on the cusp of cancer research stuff. Like,
you know, usually I can kind of lock in on something, but this one has me in circles.
Yeah. I got a few more here again. These have a little less information because I was picking them up right at the end because people were linking them. I figured I'd put them in here, let the Holocult do what they want with the information. If you don't think it's part of it, let us know. Let us know what you think. Again, we're just here to share the information and our thoughts. We don't know the truth.
True.
Next, this moves the timeline back a little bit to 2023. David Michael Hicks. David Michael Hicks, a research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, passed away on July 30th at the age of 59, but the cause of death was again never made public. No record of an autopsy being performed could be found. Another scientist with ties to America's space program has now joined the growing list of deaths and disappearances around the U.S. David Michael Hicks, a research scientist at NASA's JPL, passed away July 30th, 2023, at the age of 59. Cause of death never made public. No record of autopsy was found. Hicks worked at JPL from 1998 to 2022 and was credited with publishing over 80 scientific papers and was part of multiple teams helping NASA understand the physical properties of comets and asteroids. Again, like Carl Grillmar, could possibly have information on a potential Earth-ending asteroid where, as me and Kyle were talking off air, if these guys were going to blow the lid off this thing, say, here's the information we found. The public deserves to know it. This motherfucker's going to hit. The public deserves to know it. Maybe these guys are saying, no, you know what? No, they don't. No, they don't.
I mean, you got a point, but what if it's not an asteroid they're trying to track? What if it's a fucking mothership?
Yes.
Because, I mean, in theory, you should be able to retrofit the devices that are capable of tracking large rocks to track large metal objects moving towards us.
Yes. Specifically, Hicks was involved with the DART project, NASA's test to see if humans could deflect dangerous asteroids away from Earth. He also worked on Deep Space One's mission, which tested new spacecraft technology that flew by a comet in 2001. While there have been no public allegations of foul play, Hicks' case marks the ninth person at the time with ties to American space or nuclear secrets who have died or mysteriously vanished in recent years, which set off alarm bells among U.S. national security experts. Moreover, three of these scientists had close ties to Hicks. All of them worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory or participated in NASA's missions there. Monica Reza, JPL's new director of materials processing group, vanished without a trace in 2025, just months after beginning her tenure at the NASA lab. Two other men with deep ties to the Jet Propulsion Labs died recently, including longtime worker of Hicks, Frank Maywald, who we covered a little bit earlier as well. July 24 of 61... Again, not very much public acknowledgement of his passing. Also tied to astrophysicist Carl Grillmar, who was murdered on his front porch, which we talked about last episode. California Institute of Technical or of Technology's research work was heavily supported by NASA's JPL, and Grillmar was personally involved with major space telescope missions led by NASA. So we got another one with ties, essentially, not necessarily ties, but worked in the same space as 3 to 4 other people.
I don't, it's so weird. And if all I know is that if they're covering up an asteroid, I'm going to be bummed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that sucks. I'm not trying to deal with that.
No, no. This one is a little bit, I put it toward the end because it's kind of out there, but also kind of not. So do with this one what you will. Stephen Garcia. Stephen Garcia vanished on August 28, 2025 after leaving his home on foot wearing a green camouflage shirt and shorts, carrying only a handgun and a bottle of water, leaving behind his phone, keys, and wallet on the counter and leaving his locked car in the driveway. Garcia served as property custodian for the Kansas City National Security Campus, a major facility with a behind-the-scenes role in the American National Defense. This job allowed Garcia a top security clearance in the building, which manufactures more than 80% of all the non-nuclear components that go into building the military's nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuclear talk.
And dude had access to every part of the building, being janitorial crew.
He wasn't no fucking scientist, but maybe he was there to clip one.
Yeah, or there, maybe if he was sent there, maybe he was absorbing the information. You have access to all the building.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting in everywhere. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on there that is very privy to America's nuclear program.
Which is a big fucking deal.
Yeah. Police stated that he might be a danger to himself, but an anonymous family member told Daily Mail that he was very stable and not suicidal. Source believes the most likely explanation was that Garcia was targeted by foreign spies. Who says that without some further knowledge, which is not the first time this happened?
Right.
The guy that got burned up in the Tesla, his family was like, he was abducted. He was abducted.
I definitely feel like there are obvious pieces of the puzzle that we're missing. Like, a lot of these people know
some stuff
more than what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And because,
like, I don't know. I just feel like the pattern is right there in front of us, and we're missing pieces to see it.
It's like it's being suppressed.
It's weird.
Yeah. Like Cassius, their family being like, we think she may have gotten into a car after she walked off camera.
Which is so weird to say.
It is.
Or like you said, the assumption that this dude is kidnapped, like right off the rip. No, like, oh, what, you know, this, that. No, he got kidnapped.
Which is bizarre.
We're convinced he was kidnapped.
I only have a couple more here. People have started, again, as Kyle had mentioned earlier, linking Amy Eskridge to the growing list of these scientists who met an untimely demise. I'm not going to go into this deep here. She worked in anti-gravitational propulsion systems, was tied to the Huntsville space agenda. If you guys want to know more about Amy, you need to go back to episode 253, where Kyle deep dove into her whole life and her studies and her mysterious death that links right up to this. I will say that she was found unalived in her car. And it was declared that it was self-inflicted. That's questionable at best.
Yeah.
Go episode 253. Go hit it up. Go look at it. If we add Amy to the list, we also have to add Ning Lee, who was working in anti-gravity science in Huntsville. Another one. So you have the guy in the Tesla connected to Huntsville space agenda. You have Amy, Huntsville Space Agenda, and you have Ning Lee. She was a Chinese American physicist. She's known for her research into anti-gravity. In the 1990s, Lee worked as a research scientist at the Center for Space, Plasma, and Aeronomic Research, the University of Alabama in Huntsville. In 1999, she left the university to form a company called AC Gravity LCC to continue anti-gravity research. Born in Shandong, she graduated from the Department of Physics of Peking University. In 1983, she immigrated with her family from China to the United States. In a series of papers co-authored with fellow university physicist Douglas Tor, published between 91 and 93, she claimed a practical way to produce anti-gravity effects. While at the University of Alabama in the 90s, Lee's work attracted the involvement and funding of NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. However, Lee was reported to have become frustrated at the pace of the research from the center. Huntsville Times also reported a, quote, academic turf war involving Lee and NASA colleagues at the time. So she seemed to have maybe gotten on NASA's shit list, because NASA was funding some of the research. Lee was reported to have left the University of Alabama in 99 to found the AC Gravity LCC company. AC Gravity was awarded a United States Department of Defense grant for $500,000, $448,970,000. So now we have Department of Defense interests in her as well to continue anti-gravity research, which
is a big deal.
Big deal. The grant period ended in 2022, but no results from this research were ever made public. In 2003, she presented related findings at a MITRE conference titled "The Measurability of AC Gravity Fields" alongside Redstone Arsenal official from U.S. Army Aviation and Missile Command. No evidence exists that the company performed any other work, although as of 2025, AC Gravity still remains listed as an extant business. A 2023 article published by the Huntsville Journal cited an interview with Lee's son, George Min. According to Min, Lee continued anti-gravity research for the Department of Defense, but she stopped publishing and discussing her research findings upon attaining top secret security clearance with the Department of Defense.
Yeah, because that's not weird.
Min stated that the Chinese government officials approached Lee in 2008 regarding an offer to return to China to continue her research, which she rejected. Min further stated that Chinese authorities did not permit Lee to return to China to attend her mother's own funeral.
And there's a good reason for that.
She's a big deal.
She probably wouldn't have been able to come back home.
She's a big deal.
Yeah.
If the Department of Defense is funding your anti-gravitational research, and then they tell you you mysteriously stop posting or publishing any of that research, you're on to something.
Yeah.
You're on to something.
Without question.
But again, this pushes the timeline back. In 2014, Ning Li was struck by a vehicle while crossing the street outside of the University of Alabama Huntsville campus. Lee's husband, seeing the accident, suffered a heart attack and died a year later in 2015. For Ning Li, the accident caused permanent brain damage. Lee's son cared for her the next 6 years while Lee also suffered from Alzheimer's disease. On July 27, 2021, Ning Li died at the age of 78. Attempts to gain more insight into her work through the Freedom of Information Act request were all reportedly denied.
Yeah, well, there's probably good reason. Because she was, like you said, she was 100% onto something. Whatever she was doing was a big fucking deal.
Yep.
So big of a deal that even the FOIA is like, that's not happening.
No.
No, it doesn't matter. We're not doing this.
It's crazy.
Which I don't know. I just feel like it's all connected, and I'm missing a link.
Yeah, for those keeping track, we have Michael David Hicks, Frank Maywald, Monica Reza, and Josh LeBlanc all worked in direct cahoots with NASA. They were NASA employees. You have Anthony Chavez and Melissa Cassius. Both worked for Los Alamos National Laboratory. You have William McCausland, Matthew Sullivan, Jacob Pritchard, Jamie Pritchard, and Jamie Gustatus, all members of the U.S. Air Force. Then you have some that are kind of outside here. Steven Garcia, who worked in Kansas City National Security Campus, had all the clearance for the nuclear weapons program. Carl Grillmar could be essentially tied into the NASA work because he collaborated with NASA from Caltech. He could be thrown under the NASA umbrella, technically. You have Jason Thomas, who was the chemical or the cancer researcher who had ties to the Department of Defense. Then you have Nuno Lorero, who worked at, it was the plasma scientist that was murdered. You have Amy Eskridge, who had ties to Huntsville. You have Ning Li, who had ties to Huntsville. And then you had, man, I keep forgetting his name. The dude who, LeBlanc, crashed his Tesla, also ties to Huntsville. So all of these are kind of in the same vein where they are connected with one another in clusters, but it's almost like the clusters are also connected to one another.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It all feels connected somehow. And it's crazy that this has all happened with, like, you know, within like 5 fucking years. That's nuts.
It's bizarre.
I don't know. I do feel like there's a lot of sussiness around this one.
And they keep adding people every week. So this is just what I have up to this point, which it is May 2nd right now. So there, if they add more, I apologize. This is what I got for right now. No, again, me and Kyle ain't saying nothing. We're just saying
it's connected. They're all connected.
It's something.
And this would have been right around the time they first started dropping alien disclosure, which is ironic.
Yeah. You're right. So, and Matthew Sullivan was going to go out there and tell him about it, but didn't make it that far.
Yep. I don't know. Like it's I said, weird. this one's definitely, there's it's all linked somehow. I really do feel like I'm missing a puzzle piece.
Probably designed that way.
I'm sure. For some reason, it feels like it has everything to do with, like, UFOs, UAPs.
And it's so strange that, like, so when I sit here and look at my notes about this, the clusters are so weird. The clusters of people.
Yeah.
Where you have multiple people under the NASA umbrella. And you have multiple people under Los Alamos, which Los Alamos could also be tied into the nuclear people who I don't have down here. You know, I have under others.
Right.
You have so many people from the Air Force. Notice there's nobody from the Navy. There's nobody from the Army.
Yeah.
Just Air Force personnel.
So it seems like it has something to do with propulsion and nuclear shit.
UFOs and comets,
outer space too.
Man. Comets.
I don't know. This is strange.
It's a lot like the Star Wars. The Star Wars scientists that went missing or ended up unalived in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which maybe I'll do an episode on that too.
It'd probably be worth it.
It's crazy, and they overlap. They don't overlap, but their parallels are strange.
Right. I don't know. This was good. This was bizarre, and the fact that it's so current is even more bizarre because we're kind of living it.
Yeah, it is weird that we're in the middle of what is possibly a very significant conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
40 years down the road, are people going to be talking about this the same way they talked about we talk about the Star Wars scientists from Europe?
Probably.
Ended up dead?
Probably.
Bizarre. But we're just putting the information out there, Holocult.
That's good.
Let us know what you think. Let us know what do you think is up.
Yeah, give us your theories because we need them on this one.
Post them in the comments. If you listen to it on YouTube, post it in the comments. Heck yeah. But again, it's that time. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope everybody had a good work week. Stay safe. Stay weird. And again, if me and Kyle go missing with our keys, wallets, and cell phones left on the countertop, remember that we're in the right frame of mind to not go missing and leave our keys, cell phone and wallet on the countertop.